Meat!
BT!
Football's back, baby.
Oh, yeah.
You excited?
Oh, yeah.
What are you going to make for dinner tonight while you watch football? What do you got going?
I don't know yet. I've got some chicken breasts in the fridge. Mm-hmm. So my mom brought me back my favorite barbecue sauce from KC.
Oh, snap.
So I think I'm going to do a little something like that. Maybe some
working.
Brussels sprouts on the side. Who knows?
Be honest.
Meatloaf could happen, too. You never know.
Meatloaf's really
probably
good.
Need some more prep time for meatloaf.
Meatloaf's underrated. Meatloaf is
really
that meal
like
that I, like I think most children, when mom said it was meatloaf night, it was like, oh, man,
that's
meatloaf
awesome.
Again. Now it's like, go home, like, mom, you gonna make that meatloaf?
Do you know what's really good, but you can, you almost never do it, because when you're at a really good steakhouse, you're not going to get anything but steak. But if you're ever at one that does meatloaf, that meatloaf is incredible. Because
oh, yeah.
they know what they're doing, but... Typically, when you go to a steakhouse, that's you're going to get a steak,
that's
right?
Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, like, that's if you go to a restaurant and get meatloaf, depending on where you're at,
right,
they
right.
can sometimes make it just awesome.
I saw a recipe the other day, and I about lost my mind. It was bacon-wrapped meatloaf smoked mm-hmm. with mac and
I've
cheese
seen that.
Inside
what?
Of it.
What?
Yep.
They smoked it with mac and cheese inside of it. Like, what is that?
Heaven.
I want it now.
It's heaven. Me, what are we fighting over today?
We've got...
Oh,
we do.
Oh, baby.
Tickets to see the Cardinals celebrate the return of, that's right, September 13th.
See?
The first 30,000 fans, 16 and older, will get a Cardinals hockey sweater. You can get your tickets now at cardinals.com/promotions.
That's
right.
What it's for.
Oh, man.
All right, let's bring in today's fighter. It's Josh. Josh, what's going on? How we doing?
How we doing, fellas?
Oh, doing really well. You ready to take on Megamind today?
Let's see what we can do.
Here we go. Question number one, Antonio Brown. He led the NFL in receiving yards in 2017. Who led last season with 1,677 yards? Was it Tyreek Hill, Julio Jones, or DeAndre Hopkins?
Hopkins.
Question number two, on this date in 2007, Barry Bonds hit his last career home run. Since he hit 73, the most home runs in a single season is 59. Who did that? Is it Ryan Howard, David Ortiz, or Giancarlo Stanton?
Stanton.
Question number three. Josh, Paul DeJong set the Cardinals single season record for shortstops with his 26th home run. Which shortstop has the Major League Baseball single season home run record with 57 home runs? Is it Alex Rodriguez, Ernie Banks, or Nomar Garciaparra?
Go Rodriguez.
And question number four. Of current active quarterbacks, how many have more career passing yards than Aaron Rodgers? Just for a note, Rodgers has 42,944. Is it four active players, five, or six?
Let's go four.
All right, let's bring in Randy. All right, Josh, how we feeling?
Go ahead and cue Mo.
There he is. There he is. That's okay. That's all right. Now, we've been talking about it a little bit today. Are you at all excited for football tonight, or are you anti-football?
Oh, I am so excited. It's not even funny. Better Christmas morning.
There you go. So wow. Are you a Bears or a Packers fan, or are
Nobody's
you just a football
a Bears
fan?
Fan.
Hey,
Chiefs fan.
Chiefs,
yeah.
What the heck?
Oh,
yeah. You like him now, do you,
mean? Yeah, we're cool, though.
I got my son in the back, and I'm taking him to the Chiefs-Texans game, so he's pretty excited about it.
Awesome, right. Man. That is really
cool.
That
is going to be fun.
Heck, yeah. Enjoy.
Well, I hope he's in for a lifetime of disappointment when they never
please,
go to the Super Bowl,
please.
But,
well,
you know.
My
yep.
son's
Damn
first
it.
Name is Madden, if it says anything to you.
Oh, that says a lot to us.
It does.
Right on.
And his initials are MLB.
You're raising them right. I like it, Josh. Randy, say
That's
hi to
right.
Josh.
Hey, Josh, how you doing?
Good, Randy. How you doing, sir?
Great. Thanks for listening. Thanks for playing.
All right, here we go, Randy. Question number one, Antonio Brown. He led the NFL in receiving yards in 2017. Who led last season with 1,677 yards?
I believe that would be Julio Jones.
Question number two, on this date in 2007, Barry Bonds hit his last career home run. Since he hit 73, the most homers in a single season is 59. Who did that?
Giancarlo Stanton did it 2 years ago.
Question number three, Randy. Paul DeJong set the Cardinals single season record for shortstops with his 26th home run. Which shortstop has Major League Baseball's single season home run record of 57?
I can't imagine that anybody other than Alex Rodriguez would be the guy.
And question number four, out of current active quarterbacks, how many have more career passing yards than Aaron Rodgers? Rodgers, just for reference, he has 42,944.
Okay, well, you've got Breeze, you've got Brady, you've got Big Ben, and you've got Eli and Rivers. So that's five. So is there anybody else? The Jets, Patriots, Bills, Dolphins, no. In the AFC North, you don't have a guy. In the AFC West, Mahomes still not quite there yet.
Not
yet.
He's
closing in.
2 years.
Let's see. So Rivers would be one of those guys. So North, South, East, West, and then NFC, Cowboys, Redskins, Eagles. John, we've already got Eli. South, I don't think you've got anybody besides Breeze. West, you've got nobody. And East, you've got Redskins, Cowboys. So I'm going to go with Breeze, Brady, Rivers, Roethlisberger, and Manning. I'm going to say five.
We've got a winner. Josh, I'm sorry he got you, man. 3-2. It is Julio Jones. Julio Jones led all receivers last year, 1,677 yards. Giancarlo Stanton has the most home runs in a single season since Barry Bonds hit his 73. It was 2017, 59 of them for Stanton. A-Rod has the MLB single-season home run record of 57 of them from a shortstop. He did that in 2002. And, Randy, you were just one off. You named them off. There's six, actually, that have more passing yards than Aaron Rodgers, Brady, Breeze, Roethlisberger, Rivers, Eli, and Matt Ryan. Matt Ooh. Ryan is the last one. So, Josh, thanks for playing, and hopefully you and Madden have a blast at the Chiefs games this year.
All right, fellas. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Good to have you with us on 101 ESPN, where it's 4:13. Your time check brought to you by Clarkson Jewelers, an officially licensed Rolex jeweler. Coming up in the fast lane, the Giants and Cardinals have been two of the most successful MLB teams of the decade, but both of their track records show just how hard it is to stay at the top. That's next on 101 ESPN. The Cardinals and Giants owned the National League in the first half of this decade. The Giants won the World Series in 2010. Cardinals won it in 11. Giants won it in 12. Cardinals went to the World Series and lost in 13. Then the Giants won in 14. But since then, not so much. You've had the Mets in 15 in 2016. Obviously, the Cubs in 2017 and 2018. The Dodgers were in the World Series. And we have seen how difficult it is, even for a team that has a lot of money like the Giants, to maintain a level of excellence. And there are different reasons for the Cardinals and the Giants dropping off like they have. Start with a team that the Cardinals just took 3 of 4 from, the San Francisco Giants, who are on their third general manager now of the decade. They haven't enjoyed the stability that the Cardinals have. But guys, I look at that franchise, and I think they got emotionally attached 100%. To their players.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing, isn't it?
Yeah, when Brandon Crawford's got 2 years left at like $17 million a year. They've signed Posey long-term. They gave Kane and Lincecum big contracts. The only guy they really didn't take care of is Mad Bum, interestingly. And he's probably going to wind up leaving them.
Do you think? And it wouldn't shock me if they make the same mistake again with Madison Bumgarner, which sounds bad to say mistake because he has done a lot for you. But in an era now where we're not paying for past, we're paying for future, I could see them overpaying him yet again and extending him yet again. And I guess to a certain extent, I could understand it. But what they did, what the Giants did, and nobody's going to fault them. They won three championships in 6 years. I mean, it's as close as you're going to get to a dynasty is what they were able to do. So I it's hard to fault them for it. But it reminds me a lot of what the Phillies did after they went on their run, is they locked up all these guys. They got old really quick. And then all of a sudden, you're hamstrung because you have these contracts. You're also hamstrung because of all the winning that you've done. You haven't got these high draft picks, and all of a sudden your system's in bad shape and your big league team's in bad shape.
And by the way, as opposed to the Phillies, to me, the Giants exacerbated their problems by going out and giving Melanson 62 over 4, trading for Evan Longoria with the contract that he still had going. They gave a lot of money to players from the outside, too, so that they could try to keep that thing going when it really wasn't going forward anymore.
I don't want to speak out of
and
both sides of my
too.
Oh, great call. I love those deals at the
Me
time.
Too. I did.
Because I loved it that it looked like a team that said, you know what, we have a window and we want to win. We believe in this group. And this happened right in the middle of, like, everyone else is tanking. Everybody else is going this opposite direction. The Giants said, screw that. We're going to acquire some veteran talents that we believe can help us. So while I liked it at the time, and I respect the heck out of the baseball decision, turns out it wasn't that great of an idea.
Well, and as a fan, I think I would appreciate that, knowing that my team is going to try to keep the players that have gotten us to a certain level, try to keep them intact, and then maybe even help them build. But you have to know when it is time to let go of certain guys. You have to know that. You have to know that. When you're spending an incredible amount of money on a particular player, whether or not that's going to be good money spent, because, you know, sometimes it's not. Look at the Padres, for example. There was no reason for them last year or the year before to sign Eric Hosmer.
Right.
They weren't going anywhere anytime soon. That's the kind of guy you pick up if you need that extra presence. He's a good clubhouse guy. You get him when your team's already set, but
he's
you just need somebody to play.
Factor.
Yeah, and you need somebody to play first base, right? It's not a good time for you to acquire somebody like that. Likewise, if you're the Giants, you have to know who's going to fit for you, because it is possible to keep winning and keep your players. You just have to be smart about where that money is spent elsewhere. I would appreciate it if I'm a Giants fan and they do what they could to hang on to Bumgarner. The problem is surrounding him as a team that's not going to be good enough. So I don't know what good it does them to lock him up, give him a bunch of money. What about the rest of your club now? And you can't really fix it at this point.
And the difference between the two franchises, the Cardinals and the Giants, old guys declined. And the core of that team, obviously, was Kane, Lincecum, Bumgarner. And then they had a bullpen, a rare bullpen that stayed good for 5 years in a row. When you had Affelt and Lopez coming in on the left side, you had Santiago Casilla and Sergio Romo. You had a group, a core bullpen group that stayed together for 5 or 6 years, and they were all good for a long time. With the Cardinals, and by the way, the Giants didn't draft pitchers to replace those guys. The Cardinals weren't able to replace the superstar bats that they had, specifically Matt Holliday, when he went into decline. They never did effectively replace him. And a guy who wasn't a superstar, but was a really good bat that they thought was going to be good, and that is Alan Craig. When he went down, the Cardinals were never able to replace that offensive production.
No, you're right on that. Do you think that the Cardinals have made, we were just talking about the Giants making emotional decisions. Do you think that the Cardinals have made emotional contract decisions? One that I know when he signed the latest one, people were up in arms about was Yachty, when Yachty signed his deal. Well, now that you look back at it, it looks pretty good, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Adam Wainwright, while he was injured for a lot of his last contract, that I still think that deal was a lot less than he would have gotten out on the open market. Mm-hmm. And currently he's on an incentive-laden deal. The one maybe, and I don't even know if it's an emotional decision or if it's more so just maybe misreading what the player is going to be, is Matt Carpenter.
Yeah, right. That's the one.
But do you think that the other ones were emotional? Yachty.
I think the Cardinals are very cool in their approach with when you can let Albert Pujols go and you don't get emotional and throw another $30 million at that. When you can let not pick up the option on Matt Holliday's contract and bring him in and say, hey, we love you, but we aren't going to have you around anymore. I think the Cardinals are very cool and calculated and very businesslike in the way they approach it.
Well, they're emotional when it comes to players who aren't going to cost as much as Albert Pujols is going to cost you, right? But they still were willing to spend that money on him. They just he just took a comparable deal that was a little bit better for him, but they were still willing to go $200 million for the guy.
But they set that price, and that was going to be it.
Right, but that's still a considerable amount of money, yeah, especially at that time. So I think there is some emotional aspect, and the emotion comes from, well, we know the guy. He's already been in our clubhouse, so we value him more. And I don't think it's exclusive to them, but they are more willing to maybe overpay for that mid-tier guy. Well, and especially if that mid-tier guy is already on their team.
And they make panic moves. When Lance Lynn goes down and they sign Mike Leake. When Zach Duke goes down and they sign Brett Cecil. They're very they have at least been very reactionary with their free agents expenditures. And those two specifically have come back to bite them.
Yeah. So, but at the time, they didn't feel reactionary. They felt more like, we have a hole and we're going to fill it. Well, like that's what they felt like to me.
I think all of us, if you were rational and objective, when they signed Brett Cecil, if you looked at the numbers,
He was the guy.
He was the best non-closer on the market, right or left-handed, that offseason. Obviously, it hasn't worked out. And Mike Leake was a guy who, if nothing else, had given innings. And I don't think I think leading up to his years with the Cardinals, if I'm not mistaken, we can double check here. I think he'd had at least 180 innings in every year that he had started at the major league level, and they wanted to replace Lynn's innings. And when they got Dexter Fowler, for better or worse, people were talking about trading for Lorenzo Cain. Well, he didn't get traded that offseason. The Royals wanted to take one more shot. The best center field option available for the Cardinals that offseason was Dexter Fowler, yep, and they gave him the extra year. There wasn't – now, they could have used Tommy Pham as an option, certainly. They didn't evaluate that one properly. But in terms of bringing somebody in from the outside, at that time, Fowler was the logical choice. And they overpaid for him, and they admitted it.
Yeah, and so I guess that's where the evaluation has to come in. Are you – if you're going to commit a decent amount of money, and that's a contract that's decent – it's not franchise crippling, but it's a lot of money. If you're going to do that, that's where the evaluation job comes in, where you have to determine whether or not that's going to pay off for you. You know, and that's really, I think, the issue is, were they smart enough about that particular contract? And the answer is maybe not.
Yeah, but they're in first place, which is a good thing. Coming up, Greg Amzinger, MLB Network, will join us. We'll talk some ball with our buddy next on 101 ESPN. Amzinger. Greg Amzinger with us now on 101 ESPN MLB Network, featuring Cubs and Brewers tonight. You can watch Greg after the game on MLB Tonight. How are you, sir?
I am doing well, gentlemen. I got to tell you, a bunch of my friends, Harold Reynolds, Dave Valley, and I last night almost blew a gasket because Jack Flaherty's out there pinch running. I know there's a big deal in St. Louis. I apologize. I'm bringing something up that you guys talked about already for an hour and a half, maybe, but we couldn't believe he was out there pinch running in that situation.
Could you not believe it because he's Jack Flaherty, the best pitcher in all the lands, or is it because he's made a couple of awful base running gaffes so far this year, like getting picked off to end a game and then laying out there for 20 minutes of your show?
I started with B.
Okay.
Yeah. That was my initial reaction because that was such an awkward base running blunder, and the aftermath was so bad. But then Harold brought up the only option, which was, he's the best pitcher on the team. If Jack Flaherty gets hurt, the Cardinals' chances of winning the Central are over. I know they've got a lead against the Cubs in the division. The Cubs are running down with 21, 22 games left if Flaherty gets hurt. He is the most important player on the team. Why are you picking him to run in that situation? And the more he talked about it, the more it made sense to me. Don't make no sense to Schultz and anyone else in that dugout that Flaherty was the guy at first base. I was playing golf today, talking to my friends about it, and people here in New York City couldn't believe he was pinch running. In New York City, they were blown away. He was the guy that was selected to pinch run for Martinez in that situation. The more you think about it, the more it outrages any Cardinal fan.
Well, the more I think about it, the more it brings up a memory for me. In 05, I believe it was, Greg, we were playing in Pittsburgh, and our rotation had guys in it like, you know, Mulder, Carpenter, Matty Moe. I got the call from the bullpen to come in and pinch run because they didn't want to hurt one of those guys.
That makes sense, right?
Yeah,
that
right. Mm-hmm. No, totally.
That makes sense.
Yeah, totally. No, good point.
So, to have your best pitcher and what he has done since the All-Star break, especially the last month and a half, this kid is carrying the rotation. Hudson's right behind him. They've got something special. And Mozeliak knew it. That's why they didn't overpay to get one of these starters that were available. Let this kid stay healthy. And let me tell you, if they need someone that needs a standing ovation for the rest of the year, it's Harrison Bader for swinging and missing on three straight curveballs from Will Smith last night. Because that strikeout, lose that game, was more, it made a bigger impact in a positive way for the Cardinals than if he hit a gapper and there was a play at the plate. So Harrison Bader, tip your cap to him the next time you see him step up to the plate for striking out wildly against Will Smith on three pitches.
Greg, we're going to put you on hold for one moment. We're going to try to get a better connection with you, Greg Amzinger, MLB Network, and MLB Network is featuring the Cubs and Brewers tonight. Cubs will be playing without Craig Kimbrell, who was placed on the IL today with a bad elbow inflammation. Apparently, the MRI showed no structural damage, and they expect that he'll be back in a week. Because it's retroactive to a couple of days ago.
Well, I mean, better safe than sorry, I guess, when you're them. The Cubs, we know, I mean, they have a little bit of a lead in the wild card. But the wild card's not what they're hoping for either. They're hoping to chase down the Cardinals. They're hoping to get this thing tighter when we get to the 7 out of the last 10 and overtake them. Kimbrel's going to have a lot to do with that. But I'm just thinking about just this weekend. You got a four-game set against a Brewers team that is going to be very, very desperate. I mean, the Brewers, even though we have about a month to play, their backs are against the wall. Like, they have to win these games, certainly these division games. And no Craig Kimbrel with all the other hiccups in that bullpen, that's a little scary.
And if you're the Cubs, you certainly can't let these Brewers games pass you by. You know, if you're them, if you do not take advantage in this four-game series, you're in some serious trouble.
Greg is back with us. And, Greg, I want to get to Steven Strasburg because your colleague, John Paul Morosi, suggested that he is at least exploring the possibility of opting out of his contract after this season. Does the San Diego native who went to San Diego State become the next big money guy that the Padres signed, Steven Strasburg?
It would make a lot of sense. One thing you need to keep in mind is he had an incident with Max Scherzer where Scherzer took him to the clubhouse and sort of aired him out. I don't know what the aftermath of that moment was, but all I do know is Scherzer and Strasburg are not warm and fuzzy characters. They are not friendly with each other. This team belongs to Max Scherzer. He is the clear-cut leader of the team. Imagine if Adam Wainwright didn't get along with a starting pitcher that was hurt. Say Adam Wainwright is in his prime. Scherzer, he's performing like he is still in his prime. I wouldn't be shocked at all. And that is a terrific landing spot because he pitched San Diego State as well. I'm going to give you a prediction, and I hope that my audio is clear here. I think this offseason will be the year of the disgruntled player trade. And here are the guys that I think will be traded in the offseason. I think Mookie Betts gets traded.
Wow.
I think Chris Bryant gets traded. And maybe a couple others. Because what teams are doing now is overspending to extend guys. And free agency is no longer going to give you tons of opportunity if you're an organization because the guys that are out there weren't extended for a reason. So I look at certain teams going, wait a minute, this team doesn't flow in our clubhouse. Sometimes, as we've seen in the case of the Cleveland Indians with Trevor Bauer, in the case of the Arizona Diamondbacks with Zach Greinke, you can see addition by subtraction. And I wouldn't be shocked at all to see Strasburg opt out, think he's going to get a ton of money. Maybe he will from the Padres. Frankly, if you're well-read on the farm system of San Diego, I don't think they need Steven Strasburg. Strasburg. I don't think we need a Stephen Strasburg. It's how deep they are when it comes to starting pitching. But we'll see if Kelsey Kim or JD Martinez opt out. But I do think there will be big name players that get traded, and throw Francisco Lindor in the conversation. I can see Francisco Lindor getting dealt this offseason on the Indians.
I mean, he would look really good with the birds on the bat. I got to be honest with you. Francisco Lindor is like one of my favorite players to watch, Greg.
I love him. I think he's the next $200 to $300 million player. I've always pegged him for Hollywood. He looks like a movie star. I don't know if the Cardinals are going to be a team that would be willing to do that. Yeah. I'm reminded that they were in the yellow contract sweepstakes. And then I'm also reminded that a team like the Chicago White Sox wanted to sign Manny Machado and Bryce Harper. Neither one of them went there. If there's a team that I think is perfect for it's Mookie Betts and the White Sox. I think that if he didn't get traded there, he'll sign there as a free agent because he needs a center field spot. They'll have Luis Robert, can't miss prospect in left, Eloy Jimenez in right. There will be some circumstances. This offseason is going to be wild. I really do believe that. I think Chris Bryant stays a Cub or something. I've got a source within the organization that says if Joe Madden doesn't win the World Series, he's gone. So he's got to win the World Series to keep his job. So then I ask, well, if he gets the World Series, so you can tell that relationship is on the thread there on the north side of Chicago.
It's crazy times. Greg, we're going to let you go. We're having connection problems. We will do this again. We'll revisit and reconvene next week. Thanks to our friend Greg Amzinger, MLB Network. And, of course, you can watch Greg after the Cubs and Brewers tonight on MLB Tonight. Meanwhile, if the Cardinals, he mentioned that the Cubs have to win the World Series for Madden to stick around. You wonder what winning will have, what effect that could have on the Cardinals. And I think we all agree that the Marcelo Ozuna situation is, at the very least, one that is probably not looking great in terms of the Cardinals keeping him, because he is going to be a big money performer. He'll be one of the few guys that's available on the market this offseason. And the Cardinals have young outfielders that they like. So they're going to have somebody step up. But first and foremost, they got to worry about this season, and Marcelo Ozuna is capable of carrying them for a while in September and October.
Yeah, I believe he is also. He's going to be a guy that's going to be in there day in, day out, random off day here and there just to keep him healthy, but they're going to have to lean on him. And what everybody should be hoping for is that Marcel is unreal down the stretch. He does carry you, and then he commands a huge salary, and then afterwards the Cardinals just figure out if they want to be in or they want to be out with Marcelo Ozuna. I don't think that Marcel, even though there are a lot of teams that maybe aren't looking to spend that kind of money, I still believe that he's not going to be in a position where he's going to have to take a hometown discount. The question is, will he want to? You know, does he really like playing here? We've heard about this multiple times. We heard it in spring training that he wanted to be here. Mark Saxon wrote a piece about Marcelo Ozuna, just stating again that he wanted to be in the fold. This is when the team was in L.A. a couple of weeks ago. We all know about the fact that he got rid of Scott Boras, hired Yadier Molina's agent. So there are a lot of things that point to him wanting to be here. But I would also believe that you're going to want to go out there and get top dollar. I mean, this is your payday, especially right now, man. You're not at a position right now in baseball. I don't look at the landscape of things and say, oh, well, you could just sign a stopgap contract and then try to cash in again in another 3-4 years. That's not the world we're living in right now.
No, he's going to want to take advantage as best he possibly can. And I don't know how to read the agent firing situation, getting rid of Boras and bringing in somebody else, other than maybe he felt like he wasn't going to be a priority for Boras during the offseason. I guess that's a possibility. I'm with you, though. I don't think he takes a hometown discount. I'm sure he'd like to be here, but I would also not be surprised if he is willing to wait as long as possible to get the deal he wants. So I'm sure he would prefer not to be sitting there in the middle of February or the beginning of March and not have a job yet. But I wouldn't be surprised either if he decides, hey, I'm getting as much as I could possibly get right now. This might be my biggest payday. So I am willing to miss time in spring training to get the deal I want.
And you mentioned being the priority, and I think that is such a great point because we just talked about Steven Strasburg, and obviously it's Boris that leaks to people that Strasburg might opt out. Strasburg is a Boris guy. Gerrit Cole is a Boris guy. Anthony Rendon is a Boris guy. J.D. Martinez can opt out. He's a Boris guy. And if you're Marcelo Ozuna, you might be sitting there number five on the list of free agents, and we've seen what happens with people like Jake Arrieta and Holland here that wind up being low on Scott Boras's priority list.
Yeah, we'll get to you. We got to get our big guns all signed first. Got to make sure that Bryce Harper's got all his money. And we got, I could see that being frustrating, especially when you are a talent like that. So who knows? Maybe that had something to do with it. Real quick, just going back to the Strasburg thing for a second. That was really interesting what Greg said about if you could
hear
him.
Did you hear it? I didn't hear it.
Well, maybe. We did get a text in. Does Greg have a 90s Nokia?
somebody else said, I agree with 100% of what he said, but I only heard 50% of it.
Well, that's trusting in Greg, and I'm guessing we'll probably have a better connection next time.
One thing we've learned in this show is that rich people don't have good phones.
Oh, yeah, that's terrible.
That is kind of amazing. Some of the best guests just have the worst connections. Do you think it's because, and Greg is certainly not the case, because we usually have a great connection with Greg, and he knows this business inside and out, so like he realizes how important it is to have a good connection. But I think a lot of times when we get like super, super like rich people and stuff, they're just driving on the freeway with the window kind of down and thinking, phones are phones, right? They work. Yep.
He's in the backseat of a car. He's being driven somewhere in New York City.
Sorry about
who was it? Who was the super rich, the Apple guy?
Steve
or whatever?
Wozniak? Yeah. Was it Wozniak or something like that?
Oh, yeah. And his, you guys interviewed him.
Apple.
Oh, really?
He started Apple. His phone sucked. It was unreal. Okay, so back to the Strasburg point of the potential opt-out. He's still got $100 million left on the contract. But going back to maybe it's even the same idea of the Marcelo Ozuna, like being the wanted one or being the guy. If you're never going to be that guy in Washington, think about being a $175 million pitcher that signs a contract like that, and then you're the plus one.
It's right.
Like, Strasburg. Strasburg, they got him too. That is probably a kick right in the ego. And maybe you do want to do something like that. I'm not sure, though, that I would have I don't know if I'd have the ability to opt out of $100 million.
It'd be hard
to
do.
What if you think about it, you're in a nice, comfy boat, and then you jump out into the ocean. You saw the cruise liner, but you don't know if it's going to pick you up. I don't know if I want to do it.
I don't either, man, but you trust in your agent. And if he's telling you, look, just hang tight. This is going to work out in the end for you. Trust me.
Call Greg Holland first.
Well, but, I mean, if I'm Marcelo Ozuna, I feel better about getting a good deal than...
But we're talking about Strasburg opting out of $100 million.
But it...
$100 million left on that contract. There's somebody... you have to know
really
for sure
difficult.
That you're going to get $101 million.
Yeah, or... Well, yes, you're not going to leave money on the table at all. But I do wonder if, in fact, he is unhappy, if he would take the same contract somewhere else to go home, to be back in San Diego.
That was the first thing I thought.
How much is that important to him, do you think?
I don't know. I think it's important to a lot of people if you can be.
And I think as you get older probably as a player and if you have the opportunity.
You know what, though? There is also something with being ingrained within an organization while he's about as far away from home as he can get. Like, he has been their guy. He's been their baby. You remember watching Strasburg minor league starts on TV because he was such a big deal. And he's gone there. He's been great. I know that his family, his wife, his kids, I mean, they're really ingrained within the community. They raise a lot of money. They do a lot of things. I feel like that would be a difficult move to make.
But you mentioned being the plus one. Their owner, Lerner, was it Mark Lerner? It's Lerner, whatever he is. When the comment came up earlier this season about the possibility of them trading Max Scherzer, Lerner said, "We aren't trading Max Scherzer. I want him to be the first Nationals Hall of Famer." So if you have your owner saying that, and you're Strasburg, what are you thinking?
Marsha.
Exactly. That's what you're thinking.
Yeah, well, And the thing is, too, when you look at San Diego, and that's just speculation, but you look at what they're building, you might be hitting it at the right time.
Yeah, if
right?
you're interested in trading for Syndergaard, then why not have that guy be the front of the rotation guy? I want to veer back, by the way, to Ozuna. No problem. He's going to be 29. Obviously, teams have had shown a reluctance to sign players to long-term contracts past the age of 30. If you're getting 1 year in the 20s, does that make much of a difference? Or do teams, do they go with a five-year deal with Marcell Ozuna because the next year he's going to be 30?
Well, if I'm Marcell Ozuna, I want five. But I probably settle for four if the AAV is high enough. But that's just, you know, again, that's just me talking what I think he should do. But I would suspect he would hold out as long as possible to see if he can get that fifth year.
Where do you think his camp starts? I think they start at 7 years.
Yeah.
Oh, 7 and 100 something.
7 to 10. 30 million.
Yeah, it probably does. And then when everybody hangs up, they get back to the boards.
Yeah, maybe that first initial offer that's absurd, you say 200, but I think more realistically 150-ish.
I think
that's
realistic,
on the high end, too.
I think realistic is what J.D. Martinez signed. J.D. Martinez, similar age, his first year of his contract, he was 30 years old. He signed a five-year, $110 million contract. Now, that's probably under what Ozuna is looking for, and J.D. Martinez is one-dimensional. He's only playing in the American League, doesn't have a position. Marcell Ozuna can play the outfield. I know that everybody's lasting impression of him in left is him scaling the wall for a ball that's nowhere near him, but he's actually been pretty darn good out there. He's made some good plays, especially here recently. He's been very good out in left field. But J.D. Martinez's contract, to me, is a close comp. I think he gets more than that.
That's a pretty good idea, and especially because salary should be rising as the years go by.
And you give the opt-outs.
Yeah, you can certainly do that, but that's why I think 150 is more realistic. If that's what it takes to sign him, though, 7 years, $150 million, or 6 and 150, Cardinals aren't doing that.
What about 5 and 125? You got Goldschmidt for 5 and 130. Do you think the Cardinals could possibly view Ozuna as a $25 million a year player?
Oh, yes. On that side, yes. I don't think that they can view him as a five-year player. Mm-hmm. I think that they could easily pay him the $25 million if you were able to get him on a shorter term. I was going to ask you guys, do the Cardinals have – I don't think they do. Do they have anybody that has player options?
No, they've never done it.
I mean, that's the new way.
Maybe that'll do it, yeah. Give him 5 years and opt outs after 3 and 4.
Say we'll overpay you for a couple of years early on, and we'll give you the opportunity to opt out afterwards if you want to.
Like that idea.
Right, because the bottom line here is, and it's something that we have brought up a ton in the past already, if he's not back next season, how's your outfield look?
Not great.
You don't really know. Well, I mean, it might turn out to be really good with the young players you have.
But it doesn't look with what you
It's all
have,
uncertainty.
Right.
It is all 100%. Uncertainty going into the offseason.
Coming up in the Fast Lane, there's a neighborhood beef happening in Australia. Will the vegan or the barbecuer get the victory? Barbecue. We'll tell you about it next before Take It or Leave It on 101 ESPN.